The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the sixth chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, five and two fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Mark 6, 30 to 44. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, no person is an island unto himself. Every child is born to a mother and a father, and therefore into a family of care that includes previous generations and relatives. Children who are adopted also have a family, their adopted one. Even children who grow up in an orphanage, like little orphan Annie, have a family, their fellow orphans and their caretakers. Christian children are brought into another family through their baptism, namely the Christian church and their local congregation. Although the chief benefits of baptism are the Holy Spirit, faith, and the forgiveness of sins, baptism also makes you a part of a family, the Christian congregation into which you are baptized. Some of you, I think, may have been members of Grace Congregation all of your life, ever since your parents brought you to the waters of holy baptism at that font over there or its predecessor. Others have been adopted into this family by transfer from another congregation or by adult conversion. Families have a lot in common, but the most common thing they do together is have meals together. In our gospel lesson this morning, we see Jesus and his disciples having a meal together on a large scale, a really, really large scale. Verse 44 says that those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The parallel passage in Matthew 14:21 indicates that this count of 5,000 only included the men. Women and children were there too, so the total number fed that day were much, much more. Now you could rightly argue that calling this vast assembly of people a family is a bit of a stretch. But it wasn't a mob either. Look at how they sat down in verse 40. They sat down in orderly rows, by hundreds and by fifties. Now multiply 100 by 50, and what do you get? 5,000. And this number describes a perfect grid of 100 by 50 people. Now, I don't know if the Jewish people were always so orderly in a group, but I think they were. It probably came from their having to meet in an orderly way several times a year for their festivals, arranging themselves in a grid pattern to facilitate meals occurred at least once a year in the Festival of Booths, where they lived in tents outdoors. That you can find where it was started in Leviticus 23, 33 to 43. The Festival of Booths was a large human be-in, to quote the name of the famous gathering in Golden Gate Park on January 14, 1967, although I don't think that was anywhere near as well organized as this. The Festival of Booths was a memorial festival that reminded the Jews that their ancestors all camped in tents together in the wilderness for 40 years. Not every family camps together. Mine does. But those that do have stories and memories that bind them together for the rest of their lives. For our family, just ask my wife and daughter what they remember about Flashlight Man on one of our early tent camping trips. Just ask her someday, Flashlight Man. Ask them what they remember about our trips to most of the U.S. national parks and many of the national monuments. If you were fortunate to have camped or vacationed with your family in a natural or wilderness setting, I bet that you, too, have many vivid memories of that. The Festival of Booths reminded the Jews of the fantastic miracles that occurred on that journey from Egypt through the desert to the Promised Land. There were no national parks out there. They remembered the parting of the Red Sea, the water flowing from the rock, the salvific bronze serpent on the pole, the meetings with God on Sinai, military encounters with their enemies in which God saved literally their hides, and last but not least, the daily portions of manna and quail that fell from heaven, which supplied them with all their nutritional needs for 40 years. Now, this analogy between the manna and the quail and the 5 loaves and 2 fish was not lost on those people who witnessed the latter miracle by Jesus. A day or two later, they found Jesus on the other side of the lake. And we know what happened and what was said because the evangelist John writes in his gospel the conversation that ensued. And so John helps explain what the meaning of our gospel lesson is today. Now here is John's take on that event. I quote at length. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe it? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." John chapter 6, 25 to 34. End of quote. So what is the application of the feeding of the 5,000 to us today? First, it shows Jesus' command over the natural realm. By his mere command, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes were transformed into a satisfying meal for 5,000 men, plus women and children, that were present that day. The people who witnessed this could not explain it away, like they often tried to explain away his other miracles. Modern skeptical theologians can't explain it away either, except to debunk it as a bogus report by his disciples. Second, Jesus directed the people from the miracle of the earthly food to the food that endures to eternal life, namely himself. Jesus called himself the bread of life. This is directly parallel to Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Jesus told that lady, quote, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water from this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." John chapter 4, verses 10 to 14. What do these words mean? In the passages we have just heard, Jesus pointed to water and bread as two essentials for preserving life. You need water, and you need some type of food every day, or you will eventually die. Then Jesus pointed to himself and said, "I am the living water. I am the living bread that you need every day, or you will eventually die and die eternally." Receiving Jesus and his benefits is not a nice thing or a useful thing. It is a necessary thing for eternal life. Those who reject Jesus reject the only source of eternal life. He is it, nowhere else. How do you receive Jesus and his benefits? You receive Jesus through what we call the means of grace. That is the Word of God and the sacraments, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. Each one of these things gives to you a gift from Jesus in a different way and for a slightly different purpose. But the main purpose of the Word and sacraments is to give you eternal life, both now and in eternity. Therefore, we members of Grace Lutheran Church, as a family of God, meet together for our meal on a weekly basis. We hear each week about God's wonderful salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We also eat together in orderly tables his body and his blood. Only those who are part of this family through baptism and through proper catechetical instruction should receive the Lord's Supper. Those who have received such baptism and catechesis should receive it regularly for their temporal and eternal benefit. Lord, give to us this bread always. In Jesus' name, amen.